Welcome to Living Fullness, a podcast where you're invited to walk with two unusual friends through the ups and downs of the art of friendship. My name is Stina Constantine.
My name is Father Sean Burns, and together we explore what it takes to grow real, satisfying friendships, the joys and challenges we face along the way, and of course, becoming a good friend ourselves.
We hope by sharing our learning and experiences, this podcast will serve you in living your life to the full. Welcome to Living Fullness, a podcast where we talk all things friendship, relationship, and living a fulfilled Christian life. My name is Stina Constantine, and as always, I'm joined by my longstanding friend, Father Sean Burns. How are you today, Padre?
Well, thank you, Stina.
That is good. Well. Good to hear.
How about yourself?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Good. How's your week been?
Not bad. It's been a busy week, but preparing for the new guys coming in. We have three new first years, three new men joining us next year. And it's still a bit of a secret as to who those men are. So I can't, you know who you are if you're listening.
It's a secretive thing.
It's a secretive thing. It is. Whoa. And it's kept a secret just so that they can sort of live life without being, oh, you're going to the seminary sort of thing. So,
okay, sure. So, I was thinking it was like secret spy business.
There actually does come a point where we expect them to tell people themselves, sure. but you know, we try not to just broadcast it. Working to help get those guys in, and I've been battering the bishop's door with various things related to that. So, sorry, Bishop, if you happen to be watching or listening, I apologize for this last week. That's been my week. How about your week?
Yeah, I've had a great week. I've had the pleasure of visiting some of my families who don't live in Wagga for work. And I had some great news come through for one of our families because I work with families who have children who are diagnosed with cancer. Some of our children often have relapses. So a particular child who's had a significant number of relapses in the last couple of months, they're scans just came through clear, so new cancer cells.
Woo-hoo. Marvelous, that's really good to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a very, very much needed break for the family to be able to regroup. So definitely. We will see what the future holds for that child.
For sure.
So we have a very interesting topic today. I think this is one of those topics that I think a few people would be interested to hear about.
Okay, yeah, I agree.
Certainly from the circles that I'm in, I think this would be a very interesting topic. So we are talking friends with benefits. So I think we need to start by just being on the same page about what we're talking about when we say friends with benefits.
For sure.
So we're not talking, in this episode, we're not talking about relationships where people have only just met. We're talking about relationships that where two people are already in some form of friendship or in some level of a relationship, and then it turns into a more intimate and sexual relationship that then develops without any real commitment or emotional attachment being involved, or at least an attempt of
that I would
no
agree with.
Emotional
yes.
attachment
yes.
involved yeah. or commitment sure. involved. So that is what we're talking here when we're talking friends with benefits in this episode.
Yep, sure.
And of course, we do have a society and a culture that says, well, hang on, this is not even that big of a deal.
Sure.
You know, this is a normal thing, like we're over this, we're beyond this, why are you making this thing into a deal?
Yeah.
And I think it's important that we acknowledge at this point that, well, actually there's almost like a spectrum happening of where people view friends with benefits and where that sits. So we've already defined what we're talking about for this particular episode, but even within that, there is a spectrum of people who will say, well, actually, sex is something that's meant for a special someone, a particular person that we're in a particular deep level of relationship. You know, it's only for the people that we enter into that kind of commitment
Yeah, sure.
that we would have that level of intimacy with. And then there is people on a different level who also say, well, actually, it's just another biological function. There is no commitment necessary here. It's pure biology. You can divorce everything else
from it. Sure, sure.
So there is a range
of
thoughts and opinions
around this. And within those two sort of endpoints on the spectrum, there's probably everything in between.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Sure. And I guess the thing too, when it comes to, say, the end that says it's only biological, there's nothing else really matters. The only thing that matters when it comes to that perspective is, in terms of morals at least, is consent.
Consent, right, yeah. Yep.
So long as you have consent, nothing else matters.
Sure, sure. So that's the spectrum that we've got, the social or cultural situation that we find ourselves in by and large. I think it's important to say that people in today's culture would be rarely so callous as to be like, well, we don't care about the other person that we're entering into a sexual relationship with. Right. There may be some people out there like that, but I don't think that represents the broader populace.
No, I would agree with you there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's more or less a case of there's a genuine care, even if there's not an intimate relationship built around that.
Yeah.
You know, there's a genuine sense of, you know, that the consent exists, or that, you know, that there'd be some kind of level of care there. So I think that's important to say.
Yeah, even if that is very small,
there is something there.
Yeah, absolutely. For most people.
In most cases, I would say that's true. However, all that being said, I think it's also important to say that we disagree rather strongly with these positions.
Yeah.
We don't agree with them. In response, we would offer the theology of the body from St. John Paul II. St. John Paul II did a series of 129 catecheses or teachings on the body, on the human body and its goodness. And just for the record, this is more than a theology of sex. This is actually a profound way to understand the human person. So the last thing that I want to do here is to reduce it to a theology of sex.
Sure.
But one thing that is important to see is that he does outline in Theology of the Body, basically he outlines human love and the divine plan, and that includes the manner and ways in which man loves with his body, particularly in the context of that intimate relationship that involves human sexuality. For St. John Paul II, the body and the soul are distinct, but they are intimately united. We all tend to agree that both we're made up of body and soul, you know, generally speaking.
Yeah.
Even somebody who wasn't a practicing Christian would probably believe in some spiritual existence.
There's a dimension there.
Right. Mm-hmm. So we would agree on that, but there is a tendency in our culture to treat the body as a shell kind of like an additional thing to the soul, like it's tacked on. Or the soul's in the driver's seat and eventually we kind of discard this thing and go to heaven. That kind of mentality.
Mm.
This mentality is foreign to the Catholic faith and certainly to Christian experience. I speak about the Catholic faith because I'm from a Catholic background and experience. The reality is that, in fact, Jesus, when he rose from the dead, rose with body and soul.
Yeah.
You know, and he promises that to us, that we will, at the end of time, get our bodies back. And so those in heaven at the moment are actually incomplete human persons. You know, they don't become complete until they get their bodies back. Because for the Christian experience, the body is actually essential.
Yeah.
It's an essential part of who I am. And John Paul II actually says that the body is a sacrament, that the body is a sign of the soul.
Mm.
So for a Catholic, a sacrament is a sign which does what it signifies.
Yeah.
You know, so baptism, water, washing, so it actually affects a cleansing in the soul that this signifies, right? Well, in like manner, the body is kind of a sacrament for the soul. It kind of signifies the person, you know?
Mm.
It reveals who we are, basically. That's my point. It reveals who we are. When I'm happy, sad, angry, excited, all of that is portrayed through my body.
Yeah.
And so also, it is through my body that I'm able to make a gift of myself to other people in acts of service and love. And John Paul II would say that the body, and indeed only the body, is capable of revealing the truth of the human person. And that is to say, the truth of who I am, but also the truth that God lives in me, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the act of sex then for John Paul II is not just a biological function.
Mm.
It is not just an act to be penciled in for the fourth date, right? Nor is it something reserved just for that special relationship where a deep connection is felt. It is how the human person communicates an entire gift of self to another with exclusivity and fidelity and is open to receiving that gift from another.
Yeah.
And so for John Paul II, sex is actually the physical expression of the marriage covenant.
Mm-hmm.
It's the physical expression of, I take you to be my wife or my husband.
Yeah.
I promise to be faithful to you in sickness and in health, for richer or poorer, for better or worse all the days of my life.
It is the literal body language.
Yeah, yeah, exactly right.
Just as we have handshakes and high fives and, you know, fist pumps and a slap that can mean all sorts of different things, this is the literal way of of our bodies expressing what's going on.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And so those vows actually are two people making a bond, you know, with and expressing that bond with their hearts and their bodies, that everything they are, every aspect of them is given as a gift to another and will be so until death. And thus we say sex is something that is reserved for marriage.
Yeah.
In the case of friends with benefits, and this is going to be something that might get a few questions, it will probably raise a couple of eyebrows, might even cause a couple of tempers to flare. In the case of friends with benefits, a counterfeit bond is formed.
Mm.
It is not the bond of marriage. You know, it is a counterfeit bond, and it's one which promises the vows of marriage with the body, as it were, without the bond forged in the soul, in the heart, right? If we really believe that the body and the soul are inextricably united, then both must express the bond, which is the act of sex, that bond of marriage.
Yeah, otherwise one or both are lying.
That's right, yeah. Now, there is heaps more that could be said here.
Oh, of course, of course, definitely. Plenty more that can be said. And for those people who do want to hear more about theology of the body and even pick up some courses and things like that, jump over to Fire Up Ministries with Simon and Madeline Carrington. They are doing excellent work in this area in Australia. So you can find them on social media, and they've got a website as well, which I'll put in the link below. So make sure you check those guys out. Send out questions to them as well. They're really friendly, really awesome human beings.
Yeah,
they would love any questions. In terms of blogs, if you're more of a reader, jump over to chastity.com as well from the United States. They've also got a plethora of blogs that you can read. Some fantastic speakers over there that you can look up as well if you want to jump into more content there too.
Cool.
So I guess to really wrap this episode up then, Friends with Benefits is a hilarious title, phrase, to describe what's actually going on in that relationship. There is no friendship really there.
That's right.
We've talked about this in a previous episode. We've talked about use. Mm. You know, unfortunately, that's what's going on here.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of whether we can actually be open and honest about what's going on. And as you've, talked today, Padre, about the language of our body, whether we can have the integrity to mean what we say and to behave
with
the commitment that we make.
Yeah, for sure. I'm in the throes of writing an article at the minute, which is on the morality of consent.
Yes.
It's you know, we talk about consent as being the sole thing that matters, sort of thing, and it's like, well, okay, consent is important. It must be free, and the act of sex must be freely given for it to be a gift.
Yeah.
It has to be freely given, you know. But that is not the only thing that makes it moral. Just because I consent to something does not mean that it is right.
Yeah.
You know, and so what is also important is that there be that fidelity and exclusivity in the context of marriage.
Absolutely. Well, did warn you this was a slightly...
You did.
Slightly more interesting topic. And I know that, look, we have not covered everything that can be covered on this.
No, not at all.
Just sort of skimmed the surface here. So Send in your questions. Put them in on our Facebook page, Living Fullness, or send us a message on Instagram at Virtue Ministry or on Facebook at Virtue Ministry. If you know us, come and talk to us.
Come talk to us, yeah.
Send us a message, whatever works for you guys.
Yeah, please.
Come and make contact. We want to hear from you in terms of what we've said, whether it makes any sense, what you'd like to hear more about. Is there something else that we can be fleshing out, you know, in terms of what we talked about here? So let us know. We'll do it. You just need to tell us.
That's right.
What's going to be helpful. Do. So hopefully we will be able to continue that conversation. In terms of ending this podcast, as with every other podcast episode, Padre, a dose of truth, beauty and goodness.
Rightio. Okay, so this one is in the form of an old mentor.
Oh.
Yeah. Who continues now to spread and to speak truth into my life and continues to teach me. I was talking to him about a situation that I was facing, and he kind of showed me the error that I had made in moving forward in that situation, and I said to him, "It annoys me that you're still teaching me lessons." He's like, "Man, did you ever think that was going to stop?" But to see that there is a man who is still speaking truth into situations now and doing it with love, you know, not treating the truth as a hammer to beat somebody over the head with, but tempting as that may be at the best of times, he doesn't do it, and he just incredible. So. How about for yourself, truth, beauty, goodness?
Yeah, for me this week it was encountering a few young people again. Part of what we do at Virtue Ministry is speaking engagements. So we go and talk in schools, at conferences, retreats, recollection days and so on. So I had the pleasure of doing one over Zoom for a primary school recently. And it was really interesting. Listening to some of the young people, the topic of conversation was around purpose and our passions and figuring out what the link is between the two. So it was interesting listening to young people when I sort of said to them, you know, have you ever been asked the question, who do you want to be when you grow up and what would you answer? And all these career options, you know, came out. And then after the conversation, after we had this talk, you know, I asked them again, you know, who do you want to be when you grow up? And all these qualities came out. It was just it's just incredible to see, especially young children, how much they absorb. And it's a really privileged spot to be in, to be able to impart something that I've learnt to someone else. So that is mine for the week.
Good on you. Very good. All right.
That is another episode done.
Brings us to a close.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us for yet another episode of Living Fullness. We hope to hear from you soon.
Ask us questions.
Yeah. And until next time, know of our love and breath.